Yeah, Jeff, it's almost like God has this orchestrated, huh? Almost like it. Psalm 73. This psalm is actually a confession. A confession of one of the music leaders in the Jewish temple concerning his envy of the prosperity of the wicked. He was jealous of how good they seemed to have it. Here he is. Here he is having been leading music, singing songs about his love for God, his trust in the Lord, his contentment in the Lord, when in his own heart, he actually found himself envying the material prosperity of the world, to the degree that he almost abandoned the faith. The end of verse 2 there says, "But as for me, my feet almost stumbled." It was tripping him up. I want you to imagine for a minute that Christy Neufeld, up here singing about her love for the Lord, her trust in the Lord, her contentment in the Lord. And she's doing all that for weeks and weeks, does it this week. But then all of a sudden, next week, we learn that she's thinking about leaving us. Can you believe it? And I'm picking on Christy because what I'm about to say is so contrary to her, okay? But she's thinking about leaving us because she was offered the position of the new co-lead singer of the Rolling Stones. Right alongside Mick Jagger, touring the world in a private jet, being able to live in luxury, having homes all over the world, staying in the finest hotels, driving a Ferrari instead of a Toyota, taking vacations anytime she wants to, being the center of attention everywhere she went. What a great life it would be. But then she thought, what about all of the songs that I've sung about God being enough? What about God being the songs about God being her first love, about God being her strength? Were they all lies? So she came to church one last time to in hopes of gaining some perspective, and the message was on Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is about a worship leader who envied the prosperity of the wicked, contemplated leaving the faith, but went to worship one more time and gained the understanding about the truth of the matter, and then wrote this song so that it wouldn't happen to Christy or any of the rest of us. Now, I don't believe that the psalmist was actually contemplating joining the wicked like Christy was, but he was envying what they seemed to have, even though they were wicked, as compared to what he had living, or at least trying to live a God-pleasing life. And in this song, he's actually saying, this is what happened to me. This right here, what I'm going to tell you, this is what happened to me. And I'm telling you now so that it won't happen to you. And if it is already, this is how I went from envy to ease. Okay, this is how I went from being envious of the world to finding my comfort, to God being enough. Learning that God was enough. Here really is what believers need to know, what you and I need to know about envy. And so our subject this morning is from envy to ease. And in Psalm 73, we're given exactly what we need to know about envy so that we will not be tripped up by it. And the first truth, the very first truth that you and I need to understand is envy is conceived by delusion. It's conceived by delusion. We're seeing things from a deluded perspective, okay? We have an idiom that describes just that. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So it seems. It's about comparing what we have to what others have, the world has, and being jealous of it because they have it and we don't. And if you've ever changed lines at the supermarket because the other one looks faster, you're guilty. What happened the instant you went over there? All of a sudden, the one you just left, it starts moving. Yeah, right? If you've ever done that in a traffic jam, changed lanes because this one's going. And I've done this, and I'm systematic about it. I take note of the car in front of me so that I know I'm actually ahead, and sure enough, 3 minutes go by, and there he goes. There he goes, right on by me in the line I just left. If you've ever done that, though, you're guilty of it. We were in a restaurant not long ago, and I had just received my order. And I'm getting ready to take the first bite, and then the table across the aisle from us, they get theirs, and there's a sizzling. And I'm thinking, mine wasn't sizzling. I want what they have, and I haven't even tasted it yet. Who knows? Maybe theirs is disgusting, you know? Anyway, envy really is a conception that's actually a misconception, okay? It's a delusion. Envy is conceived by delusion. And I want you to listen to what the psalmist says in verses 2 through 5. He says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men." The psalmist had a delusion here, okay? First of all, he had delusions of their wellness. Delusions of their wellness. He began to envy the prosperity of the wicked because they were beautiful people with strong, beautiful bodies, and they never got sick, it seemed. They weren't plagued with the physical problems that everyone else has. They have perfect skin, sculpted bodies. Just look at the photos on the cover of the magazine. They're always happy and healthy. They even die without pain, it seemed. But it's a delusion. It's a delusion. They are not that pretty nor that healthy, and they do have all of the problems. In fact, they probably have more problems than you have. Now, I don't think they had Photoshop back then to add the delusion, but nonetheless, envy creates delusions of wellness, and it didn't stop there. The psalmist had delusions of their wealth. Look at verses 6 and 7. "Their pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish." Now, I know there's a little variation as to the way these two verses play out in different translations, but really, the message is clear. The message is clear. They are, these people that are being envied by our song leader here, they are self-confident. They get what they want no matter the cost. And by using other people, they get a lot of it. They get a lot of it. It seems that there is no limit as to what they can accomplish, and they seem to have more than most people can even imagine. Well, that kind of wealth comes at a price. Sometimes we're going to see, okay? And it's a delusion. The psalmist also had delusions of their wisdom, verses 8 through 11. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and the waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? And I'm hoping that as we go through these delusions, that we're thinking about them in the context of our own world today. Okay, because really, what we see today, perhaps even what we may be envying in our world today, is not much different from what the psalmist is envying. He saw these beautiful, rich people saying things that seem wise, saying things as if they really know what they're talking about. They seem wise, when in reality, what they are saying is in opposition to God. But all the world is in agreement with them. The world is listening to their so-called wisdom and following their ways. And in turn, it's causing many to believe that God doesn't really have the answers. He's not the source of wisdom. We, the beautiful, the rich, we're the source of this wisdom. And our wellness and our wealth proves it. So it seems. It's a delusion. It's a delusion. And these delusions of wellness and wealth and wisdom lead to delusions of our worthlessness. As we look at what's going out there in the world and the prosperity, we look at ourselves and perhaps what we have and envy. Note that it's envy that does this. We look at ourselves as worthless. Look at verses 12 through 14. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. While these wicked people, worldly people, live in complete comfort, get richer and richer, and are loved by the world, here I am, having trusted in God, trying to live a pure and innocent life, and all I get is smacked around by the world and disciplined by God. My life is worthless. He was envying the wicked. This is how envy is conceived. It's about comparing our life to the life of others and being jealous of it because they have that and we don't. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So it seems. It's a delusion. It's a delusion. And no, it can trip us up. I want to read to you a few verses of Scripture before we get into the second half of this lesson and this psalm. But here are a few verses of Scripture that we need to take to heart. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. That's what it says. Don't be deceived. Galatians 6:9 through 7 starts, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In Luke 12:15, Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Envy is conceived by delusion. Secondly, the second half of our lesson, we learned that envy is corrected by discernment. Envy is corrected by discernment. Discernment is really, it's the ability to understand truth by way of comparison. Envy is a delusion. It's when we compare the lies to what we have, that we're led down this wrong path. Well, discernment is the ability to understand the truth of a matter by way of comparison. And envy can be corrected by discerning what you and I already have as children of God. Maybe you've heard this story, but an American investment banker was at a pier of a small coastal Mexican village. He was down there on vacation, just enjoying some time, sitting on the pier when a small boat with just one fisherman docked. And inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. And the American complimented the fellow on the quality of his fish and asked him, how long did it take you to catch those? And the fisherman replied, so only a little while. The American then asked him, well, why didn't you stay out a little longer and catch some more fish? And the fisherman said, well, I've got enough to support my family here for the next couple of days. The American then asked, well, what do you do with the rest of your time? The Mexican fisherman said, well, I sleep late. I fish as I want to. I play with my children. I take siestas with my wife. I stroll into the village each evening and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full, busy life, he said. The American scoffed. He said, well, I'm a businessman. I went to Harvard. I think I can help you. You should spend more time fishing, and with the proceeds, you could buy a bigger boat. And as you catch more fish, you could actually buy a fleet of boats. And eventually, you could have a huge business and monopolize the fishing industry in the entire area. The Mexican fisherman asked, but how long will that take? The American says, well, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. But then what? Asked the Mexican. The American laughed. He says, well, that's the best part. That's the best part. When the time is right, you could sell your company and become very, very rich. You could make millions. Millions, then what? The American said, then you could retire. You could live in a small village where you could sleep late, fish when you wanted, play with your kids, take siestas with your wife, and play guitar with your amigos. And to which the fisherman, not having to say anything, said, amigo, sounds like I'm already rich. Envy can be corrected by discernment. Discernment is the ability to understand a truth by way of comparison. And the psalmist here in the second half of the song sings about how he came to understand that he was rich already. For the psalmist, discernment began with the pain of hypocrisy. Discernment began with the pain of hypocrisy. Verses 15 and 16 says, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful to me. He's basically saying, taking everything into consideration that I've just talked about, everything we've talked about so far, the fact that he was envious of the prosperity of the wicked, that he was buying into the delusion that they have it better than he does. And then that living a life that is pleasing to God is worthless. He says, if I were to tell the congregation that I believe that, they would see my hypocrisy. For I've been singing all these years about God's goodness, but not believing it myself. And he says, to think about that is painful. So it began, his discernment began with the pain of hypocrisy. It forced him to evaluate the truth of both sides of this issue. It forced him to discern whom he would serve. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's hypocrisy. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. And as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So discernment began with the pain of hypocrisy, but discernment comes through the pursuit of the truth. Discernment comes through the pursuit of the truth. Verse 17 says this. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Now, I will tell you that the last thing that an envious person typically wants to hear is the truth. And therefore, the last place that an envious person will typically want to go is to worship God and sit under the truth. But the truth is, that is the one thing they need the very most. Discernment, understanding, it comes from the pursuit of the truth, the pursuit of God's word. In fact, truly, verse 17 initiates the importance of you and I being together as we are. For not only can we sit under God's word, but we can receive encouragement from one another. We can be an encouragement to one another. Consistently sitting under the teaching and counsel of God's word. What truth did the psalmist come to understand? Verses 18 through 20. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. As you went to the sanctuary, in what could have been his very last time, he learned exactly what he needed to hear. The wicked, those in the world that are pursuing these worldly riches, they're going to be destroyed. Where our psalmist saw himself as slipping that way because of envy, we now understood that it's the wicked that are really on that slippery slope. For he who sows to his flesh will also of the flesh reap corruption. The wicked are going to be destroyed. Those who don't trust in God, but trust in worldly riches. He also learned that the wicked are the delusional. In their imagination, in their fantasies, our passage says, they think they are healthy, wealthy, and wise. When in reality, one day, the Lord himself is going to wake them up from their despicable dream and judge them, and they will learn that their health was worthless. Their wealth was temporary, and their wisdom was foolishness. The wicked are delusional. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?" Discernment comes from the pursuit of the truth, and the discernment leads to the path of contentment. Discernment leads to the path of contentment. Verses 21 and 22. He says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you." The fact that this psalmist was almost ready to leave the faith because of envy, it grieved him. It grieved him now to even think about that. Upon gaining this understanding, he was saddened that after all the Lord had done for him, provided for him, after the Lord's display of nothing but gracious love, that he was considering the love of the world instead. He says he was grieved and vexed in mind. That word vexed means to be pierced. This was a wake-up call for him. He was convicted about it. Well, the path of contentment, it starts by really recognizing our foolishness. The psalmist compares himself to a beast, an animal with no intelligence at all. How could I not see that the prosperity of the wicked is a delusion and very temporary? He recognized his foolishness. Next, he remembered God's goodness, verses 23 and 24. "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory." He goes on, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He remembered God's goodness. He remembered God truly is enough. God, you are good. You are all I need and everything I need. You are my strength. You are my example. You are my way to heaven. In fact, you are my only way to eternal life. I am weak, so you alone are all I need forever. Because you are good, I am rich already. I am rich already. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Recognize our foolishness, remember God's goodness, and then renew our faithfulness. Verses 27 and 28. "For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." Lord, to turn from you would be spiritual adultery and suicide. So instead, I'm going to draw near to you. I will trust in you. I will love you. And I will declare your goodness to anyone who will listen. Hence the purpose of this psalm. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. And I'm telling you now so that it won't happen to you. And if it is already, this is how I went from envy to ease. It was Benjamin Franklin who once said, "Contentment makes poor men rich. Discontentment makes rich men poor." The story is told of a man named Ali Hafed. He owned a very large farm and orchards, grain fields, gardens. A very wealthy and contented man by his own right. But one day, a seemingly wise man from the East told the farmer about diamonds and how wealthy that he had become mining them. Well, Ali went to bed that night a poor man. Poor because now he was dreaming of diamonds and how wealthy he would become. Poor because now he was discontented and craving a mine of diamonds. He sold his farm to search for the rare stones. He traveled the world over, spending everything that he had. In fact, he became so poor and so broken, so defeated, that he ended up taking his own life in the end. One day, the man who purchased Ali Afed's farm took his camel to the garden to drink. And as the camel put its nose in the water, the man saw a flash of light in the sand. He pulled out a stone that reflected all the colors of the rainbow. The man had discovered a diamond on the property that he bought from Ali Afed. The beginning of what would become the most one of the most magnificent diamond mines in all of history. The man discovered what is now the famous Indian mines of Golconda. Ali was richer than he had even imagined already. You and I, as believers in Christ, are rich already in ways that the world cannot even imagine. And you and I, we need to remember that the next time the envy of the world and that worldly prosperity enters our heart, the next time it causes us to slip. Our psalmist actually began this psalm with his conclusion. Look at verse 1, if you would. He says there, "Truly, God is good to Israel, and really to all those who are pure in heart." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, you are good. And I, for one, and I can't help but think that there are others here this morning that have allowed envy sometimes in our life, perhaps more than we'd even admit, cause us to slip. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word here this morning. And the fact that as you have taught this psalmist a very particular lesson to him, that, Lord, you are teaching us here this morning. We are, because we are your children, we are rich. Richer than we can even imagine in ways that we can't even imagine. Ephesians chapter 1, Lord, there you tell us that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We possess right now the riches of heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us of that every time we look out into the world and find our heart slipping into envy. Thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you for your word to us that can cause us to discern the truth of the matter. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name.